Dressed in a woolen shawl and baggy tunic and pants, Tulika Srivastava is crouched in the back of a small jeep. The morning sun rests above the treetops.
It's just a part of my block survey. I'm just going to go and see what...
Tulika, a lawyer and feminist activist, works for Mahila Samakya, the name roughly translates as Women's Empowerment. It's a group funded by the Indian Ministry of Education. Today, she's headed to make her weekly rounds in villages of Uttar Pradesh. We arrive in the village of Talhedi. Down a narrow street, an ox cart loaded with sugarcane maneuvers between thatched mud houses painted bright green and blue. The air is filled with the smell of burning dung paddies used for fuel. This is the Indian heartland, where traditions go back thousands of years. Like their ancestors, Tulika says, villagers here live in neighborhoods strictly divided by upper and lower castes.
The drumbeat?
Despite the vast differences between castes, she says, most women in Indian villages share many of the same experiences. They've never been to school, they don't know how to read and write, and as teenagers, they are given away in arranged marriages to men they've never met. Once married, Tulika says, they move in with their husbands' families and become virtual servants.
That's her duty. He won't realize that he's supposed to help her or he's supposed to do anything about that.
But for the last few years, in this village, Mahila Samakya has started to bring about some change in the way women see themselves and in how they are seen in the family. Village women gather in the courtyard outside of a mud hut. They're here to attend the weekly Mahila Samakya meeting. Tulika will observe and be on hand to give suggestions. About 30 village women greet her as sister. They sit on the floor. Their heads are covered with cotton veils. Runu, one of the group's leaders, starts the day's meeting talking about education. Why aren't you sending your daughter to school, she asks.
My daughter makes the bread and cleans things. How can I send my daughter to school?
In villages, girls commonly start working when they are 6 or 7 years old.
If you can send your son to school, why not your daughter as well?
What will the daughter do with education? For her, it is useless.
It's attitudes like this that Mahila Samakya is trying to change. Population research shows that until women are educated and take more control over their lives, they're not likely to have fewer children. Right now, women in this region have between 5 and 6 children each. Tulika says the group strategy is to get women out of the isolation of their homes and bring them together to a place where they can discuss common problems and begin to find their own solutions.
We are here only to help them, to make them aware of this hidden power in themselves. That is our job. Our job is not to lead them into a movement. They will decide what equality means for them. They will decide what freedom is.
Mahila Samakya operates in rural villages in 5 Indian states. They recruit local women and train them to run the weekly gatherings of village women. Here in Talhedi, the group has been working for 5 years. Tulika says much of the discrimination against women is deeply rooted in Hindu tradition. She says for Hindus, sons play a sacred role in the family. For instance, only sons can perform the last rites when their parents are cremated.
In the Hindus, it's a belief that when a son lights the pyre of his parents, only then can they achieve true mukti, or that they'll go to heaven only if the son lights the pyre.
Indian culture has traditionally favored sons. Daughters are a liability. Parents must pay expensive dowries when their daughters marry. Son preference is an issue that comes up again and again at the Mahila Samakya meetings.
We have to have at least one son. It's the tradition. The daughter is on loan. It's the son who will look after us when we are old. So the son is very precious.
In recent times, India has become notorious for the lengths to which families have gone to get rid of their daughters. Parents smothering their infant girls at birth, young brides being murdered after the groom's family collects a dowry, and women using amniocentesis tests to determine the sex of their fetus and then aborting females. Behind these shocking stories is the central problem that Mahila Samakya is trying to address, raising the esteem and value of girls and women in the everyday life of India. Most of the women here are poor. That means they're up before dawn to cook meals. They commonly walk miles to gather water and fuel. And they work all day in the fields. One young woman who's been breastfeeding her baby says that since she started coming to the meetings, she's begun to realize that the way women are treated just isn't fair.
In our villages, the girls are given less food. The milk, the fat, the butter. This is all reserved for the sons.
At the end of the meeting, the women sing a song they've composed about a woman who, in the midst of her difficulties, finds comfort in talking with her women friends. Chulika heads off to her next stop, the village of Dahagni. She says that because social customs are so ingrained, when Mahila Samakya begins working in a new village, it doesn't try to change things overnight. In Dahagni, for instance, the group has been focusing on domestic violence and rape. When they first began organizing there, she says, many women sided with husbands who beat their wives.
Initially, it used to be, why should we stop? I mean, she must have done something wrong. Why did she behave in this manner? She must listen to her husband.
Through the meetings, Chulika says, the Mahila Samakya group leaders slowly introduce new ideas so women know there is another way to live. Here in Dahagni, domestic violence is no longer tolerated. Today, the group has taken up the case of Savita, a young woman whose husband and mother-in-law have beaten her repeatedly. With the group's support, Savita fled her husband's house. Since then, the women have been keeping a close watch on the family. After the meeting, they decide to check up on Savita's mother-in-law. The women then grill her about whether she and her son are committed to stop mistreating Savita.
Is it such a crime to hit her?
After some badgering, the mother-in-law concedes that she won't hit Savita if she behaves. Chulika says the women have found that peer pressure is a particularly effective tool for change in small rural villages.
You know, what applies to one family will apply to all others. If one man can't beat up his wife, if people protect his wife this time, next time I beat my wife, they're going to interfere with me.
Mahila Samakya also believes it's crucial for women to get education. It's set up a network of village schools. Mahila Samakya holds classes in the afternoons so girls can attend after work. All along, village men have been opposed to Mahila Samakya. They say the group is influenced by Western ideas and it interferes with village traditions. Chulika takes us to meet Madhu Prakash, who says her joining Mahila Samakya enraged her husband.
When I first went out, my husband beat me.
But Madhu continued. Now she's a Mahila Samakya group leader. To do her work, Madhu says, she's had to find a balance between the new ways and the old.
I still like to behave in a manner befitting a daughter-in-law of the village, so that people will not stop educating their own daughters.
Madhu's strategy has won over her husband. Ananda Prakash says he started to think differently about what's appropriate for women.
If girls were educated, it will be good. But there are people in this village who do not like such things. But gradually, they will change.
Bit by bit, these changes could add up. One-tenth of the world's population lives in the villages of India. So when world leaders and demographic experts talk about curbing population growth, they're ultimately talking about families in communities like these. The efforts of Mahila Samakya in helping women gain control over their lives may be an essential first step before any population goals can be reached. With Nancy Postero, I'm Cecilia Weissman.